Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 30th of November. You're listening to Viewpoint on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain. Viewpoint, our current affairs program. We're discussing the issues of the day and as they affect you. If you want to get involved with the show today, then here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Joined in the studio today by Andres Gallardo and Claudio De La Torre. He's on his way in. And those numbers, if you want to get involved with Viewpoint on today, we'll be discussing a variety of subjects, as always, including booster jabs, new mandates in the UK, the new variant, how it's going to affect Spain, how it's going to affect the UK, how it's going to affect you. If you've got anything else you want to let me know, which is on your radar, then please let me know. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Let's look at what's making the front pages, though, in the UK. And today, starting off with many of the front pages leads with the expansion of the booster vaccine campaign to combat the Omicron variant. I'll get that name right at some point. Let's go for it is the rallying cry from the Daily Express, while the Daily Mirror calls it the drive a rush jab. Metro reports that hits on the NHS vaccine booking website surged last night after the recommended gap between second jabs and boosters was cut by 3 months. The Times, though, says that the online appointment system still required a 6-month gap, but the paper expects updated instructions to be issued later. A senior government source has told The Guardian that ministers are aiming to administer 500,000 jabs a day in a return to the huge national effort seen in the early days of the vaccination campaign. The source cautions that the increase won't happen overnight. The Daily Express leads on US President Joe Biden's response to the new variant. No cause for panic was his message, according to the paper's headline. Meanwhile, he has predicted that the Omicron cases, thank you, Richard, will reach the United States. He said if people were vaccinated and wore masks, there would be no need for lockdowns. The paper notes that Mr. Biden's approach marks a contrast to that of Boris Johnson, who has been accused of rushing into restrictions despite a lack of clarity about the new variant. There's a varied reaction to the shadow cabinet reshuffle. The Daily Mirror describes the changes as bold and an attempt to move Labour back to the centre of British politics. But the new statement's Stephen Bush says that the reshuffle is less than the sum of its parts. He points out that while the new shadow Home Secretary, Yvette Cooper, is a very effective opponent of the government, as a select committee chair, she's returning to a position where her record is mixed. The start of Ghislaine Maxwell's sex trafficking trial in New York makes several of the front papers. The Express features the prosecution argument that Ms. Maxwell was paedophile Jeffrey Epstein's second in command. The Daily Mail reports that the court heard how the socialite was a dangerous predator who served up girls for sexual abuse. It says observers began queuing from 5 a.m. to guaranteed a seat for the proceedings. Ms. Maxwell denies all the charges. And finally, for anyone already worried about cooking Christmas dinner, the Mirror has a solution. Gareth Mason, a chef in Greater Manchester, has come up with a 1 kilo Christmas pie crammed with turkey, vegetables, stuffing, and pigs in blankets. He warns not even trying to bother counting the calories in it. Well, the paper wishes it's Christmas, but readers a Merry Crustmas. Yes, very good indeed. Meanwhile, let's have a look at the front of El País. In English, they say first cases of Omicron variant detected in Spain. A traveller from South Africa. Spanish hospitals have already begun searching for the new strain of the coronavirus using genetic sequencing as a benchmark, but also PCR results. Also, Spain tightens travel restrictions amid concerns over the Omicron variant. Visitors from the United Kingdom who are not EU residents will now only be able to enter the country if they are fully vaccinated, while those from higher risk areas will need to provide a negative COVID test in addition to proof of vaccination. Back to those front pages again to see exactly what they are saying, starting from the top of my pile today. The top of the paper pile today is the Metro. And they open with booster drive to beat Omi. that is their one. Metro says hits on the NHS vaccine website surged last night as thousands joined a virtual queue. The I, boosters for every adult in UK to fight Omicron. The Guardian, race to return to 500,000 UK jabs a day as Omicron concern grows. Also, The Times, scramble to get jabs in arms. Daily Express, let's go for it, booster rollout to save Christmas. If you are doing a save Christmas bingo, by the way, you can mark that one off your card. The Mirror, new variant jab, rush jab, COVID boosters for all adults, teenagers to get the next shot. Financial Times, booster jab, drive widened to all adults in battle to quell Omicron. Daily Telegraph, Biden, no case for panic. Daily Mail leads on Maxwell trial day one. Dramatic reports. Ghislaine Prezza, who served up young girls to be abused. The Sun, exclusive Storm O'Deal. These were the story about actress Sheridan Smith, who the papers say swerved off a narrow country road in her Range Rover and hit a tree during Storm Arwen. A neighbour tells the paper Smith is lucky to be alive and the crash could have been fatal. Sherry Smash Horror, just in case you were wondering. And finally, as always, the Daily Star, which leads with Despite what the Daily Star describes as a global panic over Omicron, the paper says school nativities are safe after ministers said they could still go ahead. The paper's front page features a picture of the Prime Minister in a manger along the headline, Jesus, Mary and Joseph and the wee donkey. Okay, fine. So those are your headlines. This Tuesday, the 30th of November.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the myriad of ways to get in contact with the show with you, and for the next hour and 45 minutes or so, delighted to be welcoming on to the show my guest. We're waiting for the other. He's on the way, allegedly. But Andres is with us. Good morning to you, Andres.
Good morning, Giles. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, my friend, Brian. How's it been going for you so far?
Very nicely, I would say.
Yes,
sir.
The sun is shining.
Sun is shining. We even have the air conditioning on in here.
Yes,
so
indeed. I thought you'd enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite surprising to this time of year.
Well, we're trying to get the whole winter sort of feel going. So, yeah, so we're both wearing scarves in the office. And we hope we're trying to keep it cool because it tends to get a little bit heated on Viewpoint. Let me just say 952-78-4000. The phones, let me just check the phones are up and running. So we're ahead of the game already. So here we go. I've just got some emails coming in already, some stuff's coming in already. Omigro. The new, Richard said, don't worry, hardly anybody pronounces it correctly. Getting back to that Christmas pie, who on earth counts calories at Christmas right then? When the government says don't panic, you know you should do the opposite. So we have news of Spanish national and a Portuguese national being arrested because they came into Spain with the new variant and then they tried to get away from the hotel. I mean, here we go again. Valencia's been bringing in COVID, passports, etc. Omigro, thank you. I'll get there eventually. Should we be more worried than we have been for the past 18 months?
Well, Giles, to me, what is evident now is that the virus is not going away. We were told from the very beginning the likelihood of the virus would mutate, and this is what's happening. We got this new variant. It's not going away. What is evident to me as well is that lockdowns and restrictions and so on do more damage than good. And what's also evident to me is that we're going to have to live with the virus in circulation. We're going to have to be cautious in the way we interact socially. It's also evident to me that the vaccine helps, but it's not the final solution. The scientists will have to develop vaccines as the virus evolves. So we are likely to have be vaccinated. Those who want to be vaccinated will have to be vaccinated regularly as the virus mutates. Now, when it comes down to restrictions and lockdowns and so on, at the very beginning, we follow the Chinese model in Wuhan, and it seemed the reasonable thing to do because the hospitals were a point of collapse, it had to be done. Now the situation is a bit different. Hospitals don't have so much pressure. I think governments and national health systems will have to be heavily reinforced in case there are future waves, because let's not forget that there are other pathologies that they are not being treated in hospitals because of the amount of work that they've got, and that will have to be sorted. And as I say, we're going to have to learn to live with the virus, because it's evident that it's not going to go away, and it'll still be in circulation for the future. We'll have to put up with masks indoors and that sort of thing. So I'm glad to see that Claudio has finally arrived.
Masked up and completely. Good morning to you, Claudio. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Giles. How are you doing?
Very well.
Good morning, Andres. Lovely to see you both.
Good to have you with us, indeed. 952-78-4000.
As I was saying, all of these things we're going to have to learn to live with, and that's the way it is. What we mustn't do, and the world media shouldn't do, is have situations like with this new variant that I cannot even pronounce, the Omicron, we'll get there eventually, yes, is that suddenly there is big announcement and then the stock market crashes as a result of that. We're going to have a roller coaster like that, economic roller coaster, because of every variant it is going to come out. That is something that we need to look at and just be more calm and just be certainly cautious and continue to have a normal life.
Indeed, you were taught to be cautious. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, your panel member, and good morning, your public. Yes, this is always going to be with us, just like the flu is, you know. But I'd like to, I can't get through to people, really, but but I want to just quote some mathematics. So in one light, if you're lucky enough to live till 76 years old, Giles, then that means that you've got in the order of 27,759 days, and that includes 19 leap years factored in. So you've just wasted 730 days, 2 years, in living in a state of fear. And the point is that both sides are selfish, but one side is more, infinitely more selfish than the other. The side that seeks to divide humanity, rich and poor, vaccinated, non-vaccinated. The side that punches Mother Nature in the face, playing God with this CRISPR technology, genetic manipulation. I'd be saying the same if it was in warfare, I'd be saying the same if it was in food. Because I'm not on either side, I'm on nature's side. Because man's a destructive creature.
Yeah.
And his arrogance is only equaled by his blind indifference towards one another and Mother Nature itself. And to quote somebody, Giles, what we know is a mere drop in the ocean. That what we don't know is the ocean itself. So if you want to live your whole life in fear, and conjure horror movies in your mind of things that might happen or might not happen, why don't you just download Netflix, watch a horror movie, and cower under your bed and pee your pants?
Ah, indeed. Because
when you defile Mother Nature with medical genetic modification, there'll be a price to pay eventually.
Are you saying
we've even stopped? Dan, let me finish. We've even stopped with the boosters checking their safety because all the trials were cut short. And the problem is, we've got so many different vaccine types, four, another 80 coming out, all thrown at one virus. This in itself is crazy, because we don't know the problems mixing and the combination of, and maybe we end up making a virus stronger long term. And the last time I checked, we haven't got a time machine, so we can't predict where this genetic therapy danger is going to go in the future, because the future's not happened yet, Giles. And anybody that says otherwise is either naive or a liar or dumb. The future's not happened. So if there's a problem and we've injected our whole species, right, and we've made a mistake like we did with anthrax and thalidomide, what are we going to do? Because we're absolutely screwed at that point.
Jason, as always, thank you very much for your call in. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. I'll let the things do it themselves.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Always live, always lively. Jason getting the ball off running there with his viewpoint. If you'd like to come back on some of those points, then yes, indeed. It's one virus, but what multiple variants, and people predicting the future. I'll draw a line over that comments if you want to get involved with the show. Good morning to you, Claudio. Good to have you with us. Your thoughts on what you've been hearing thus far, and the situation with this new variant. Should we be worried? Biden says we shouldn't, don't panic, basically. So should we be more worried? Or is this, as people say, it's just, Jason just said, it's just going to be like, it's going to be with us. We've got to learn to live with it. It's going to be like the flu. What are we thinking about that one at the moment?
Well, I have mixed thoughts about this. However, I think one does have to be precautious, of course, not fall to hysteria or any type of alarm, because that doesn't help the situation at all. It's still early stages. There's very contradictory messages from different organisms. The World Health Organization says it's a variant of concern. Now, of course, Moderna, a pharmaceutical company, says that the vaccine effectivity for this new variant is reduced. So, of course, I personally will listen to what everyone has to say. However, I think we can't completely stop life and come back to lockdowns and restrictions when there's no scientific evidence for the moment.
952-78-4000, morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John in Meehurst.
Morning, John.
I just wondered if I could ask Jason if he'd actually add up all the hours that we have wasted, not being afraid of the virus, but having to listen to him.
Let's try. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes. Very good. Let's not get the, you know, we try. Thank you very much for the call in there, John. We try not to go down the playground route of saying, you know, he said, she said, and, you know, right to reply and this, that, and the other. But yes, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. People need to, this coming in the WhatsApps, people need to use common sense. But there isn't much of it going around at the moment, according to this. I mean, England is going to make masks mandatory again on public transports and shops in an effort to slow down the spread of the Omicron variant, as the new rules announced by Boris Johnson on Saturday kick in. People arriving in the UK from abroad will now also have to take a PCR test and self-isolate until they receive a negative result. Meanwhile, ministers are targeting a return to half a million jabs a day as the waiting time for the booster was cut for 3 months. People in Houston use common sense coming in a lot. I don't want to dampen people's enthusiasm for getting jabbed as many times as possible, but remember lead. Well, I don't remember anybody getting jabbed by lead. Lead, asbestos, ditto, smoking, thalidomide, which was something different. I think Jerry will come in on me that if he's listening. If it goes wrong, it is potentially the end of civilization. An awful lot of doomsayers out there. Andreas, your eyes sort of look glazed over at that point, or just sort of widened anyway?
The end of civilization.
It's only Tuesday.
What I fear now is that we are in an age of restrictions. I mean, we have accepted, because we were stunned at the very beginning with it, and the restrictions seemed a solution. And now we've seen the restrictions and lockdowns and so on haven't sent the virus away, so we're going to have to live with the virus. Restrictions have created a downturn in the economy, so people are poorer. Also mental health issues with a lot of people. So what I fear is now, with this new variant and all the hysteria surrounding it, is that we may go towards yet again more restrictions, which I don't think they're the solution. It's been proven that it's not the solution, because the virus is still there and still mutating. So we need to have certain normality in our lives. Let's not forget that with the downturn in the economy during the lockdown, and now that we're starting to come out of that and we have a certain upturn in the economy, we are hit by a huge inflation, and that's even making people even poorer, which is something that, if we add that to restrictions, that would be a disaster. We need to look at finding a way of living with the virus in circulation, and certainly scientists should be working on a way of protecting people from the disease in terms of having to go to hospital, and certainly trying to avoid as many deaths as possible. But life should continue as normal, because otherwise we're going to go into a bigger hole that we have been.
But we're saying life should continue as normal. Spain has tightened travel restrictions amid concerns over the variant. The UK visitors, UK travellers who are not EU residents, can only enter Spain now if they're fully vaccinated. And also those from high-risk areas need to provide a negative COVID test in addition to proof of vaccination. So, you know, I mean, it's yeah.
Giles, I mean, but look at these. I mean, if you're not fully vaccinated coming from the UK, you cannot enter Spain. I mean, that's a pointless thing, because you can be vaccinated and be a carrier of the virus.
Yeah, you can be asymptomatic.
You can be asymptomatic and be a carrier of the virus. So that is not the solution to the problem. So if you want to be really tight, you would have to do a PCR test the minute you enter in Spain, and that's not possible. Because let's not forget, they said, oh, I have a PCR test 72 hours before I travel. Well, you can be infected with a virus the minute after you've done the PCR test. So that PCR test is relative to the moment where you the point of taking the test. So all of these things are, you know, I mean, it's almost, I've learned to believe that it's almost impossible to defeat the virus, and all we have to do is just be cautious in the way we socialize and we behave. But we cannot go into massive restrictions, because they haven't done any good to anyone, really.
952 78 4000, studio@tre.radio, email Facebook, the Facebook page Talk Radio Proficial. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95 on any of that or any other subjects you wish to bring up today. 28 minutes past the hour. This in good morning to you. Good morning, Giles. It's only anecdotal, but I've travelled on the Victorian Metropolitan Circle lines in London. This is good morning to you this morning, and about one in five are not wearing masks. The things don't come in until tomorrow, and this is Wells by saying masks were already mandatory on public transport in London, though, but nobody enforced it. So we're going to go to this situation again. I should imagine in the UK it may very well be another bone of contention with mask wearing. We have seen, you know, the anti-vaxxers, the demonstrations, the marches, and the British public seem to be pretty much split on the necessity of wearing masks. Where here in Spain, seems that everybody has thus far gone along with what's going on in terms of rules and regulations. Claudia, do you see any problems coming up if they do decide to introduce some more regulations? COVID passports, for example, in Valencia, in Barcelona, which I know is one of your favourite places in the world.
Oh, of course, yes. It's funny that now that it seems that there's a left-right divide when it comes to COVID passports, especially in Spain, the conservative controlled regions not opting for vax passports, and the socialist regions like Catalonia, Valencia, Mallorca are. My concern is that if this is taken to the Constitutional Court, there's a high possibility that it will be declared unconstitutional, like the last state of alarm. So that is a real possibility out there. I personally am against vaccine passports because I think they're useless. And it's not, I think other measures are more useful, especially as people who are, I think it's just a push to get more people vaccinated. It's got nothing to do with stopping transmission or anything of the sort. Because, for example, one just has to see places like Portugal, which is the most vaccinated country in Europe, or Gibraltar, which is the most vaccinated territory, with 99.7, I think, of the population inoculated. And there's still community transmission, and there's still hospitalized. Of course, I'm not saying the vaccine doesn't work. I'm vaccinated myself, and I think as a precaution, it's good, because it avoids... I hear a lot of people saying, oh, yes, vaccines, you can still get infected if you're vaccinated. Of course, no one said the contrary. We all knew that from the beginning. That's not the point. The point is to stop very serious symptoms, hospitalization or death. We all knew that transmission was still possible and infection was still possible with vaccines. It's not rocket science. It's just to keep the hospitals safe and we don't want the intensive care units out of control, because it's also not only because of the vaccine, but it's if the use intensive care is saturated, then it means other people with other conditions don't have places, etc. And when it comes to mask wearing, I think it's great. For example, like the Japanese, long in the era BC before COVID.
Yes, indeed, very good.
In even in 2019 BC in Japan and lots of places in Southeast. I was in Southeast Asia in 2018, and I was already using a face mask on the tuk-tuks, especially because the pollution was terrible. And here, sometimes I wear my mask outdoors, but nothing to do with COVID. Just to avoid inhaling large amounts of pollution when a big truck comes by.
Right.
So I think, for example, masks, I like them for other reasons, not necessarily for COVID prevention, but for colds, bronchitis, etc. And hand washing, I think if that stays after COVID for whoever wants to do it, not imposed, of course, well, fantastic.
Indeed, it's funny, isn't it? We used to look at the TV pictures of Tokyo and everybody wearing masks on the metro, on the underground, and think how weird that was. And here we find ourselves in the same situation, Andreas.
Look, I'm not a great fan of the mask, but I wear it indoors when I go shopping. I went to the theatre on Saturday. Very nice to you, Giles. I had to wear a mask. It was mandatory to be in the theatre with a mask. Very uncomfortable, I have to say. But it's not the end of the world. At the end of the day, you wear a mask and that's it. I think we're going to have to get... Well, we are used to it now. Yeah. It's not the end of the world. I'm not a great fan of wearing it, so when I'm outdoors and I'm not with people, of course, I take it off. But it's something that we're going to have to get used to and normalise in our lives. Like, we've done other things. We've done iPhones, we've done computers, we've done... Now we're going to have to normalise masks. That's, you know, the way the world goes round. Now, yes, of course, in terms of the vaccination, we knew that it wasn't going to be, as I said before, the final solution. There was a percentage of that wouldn't work for some people. The percentages seem to vary as times goes from the vaccinations. If we go from 90% to 80 or 70 or whatever, so that's why the booster seems to be needed, and so on. So and also with a new variant, Pfizer announced that they in about 3 months' time they are going to be able to produce a vaccine that will help with this particular variant. So it's something that we have to normalize, but what we cannot do is go into panic mode, into lockdowns, into damaging the economy, into damaging people's mental health, into damaging all of those things, because we've done it, it doesn't work, and we need to move on as a society.
9527 84000, morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where are you calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
First of all, calling from Malaga, my name is Matthew. I had been calling before once in the past. I would like, could you not inform all your countrymen from England or Wales or Scotland or even Ireland when they're coming as tourists to Malaga, because I'm only talking on behalf of Malaga, that when they are coming to Cailairos or Centro, they take a little respect to the neighborhood, because they're screaming without protections, they don't care, they don't take distance. And I know they are from the English-speaking island, because the different kind of accents, or how you say, not only London English.
Right.
So could you not, in the general, telling your countrymen, hey, come on, behave a little, because they are guests after all, you know.
You were at Cailairos, presumably for the Christmas lights then, Matthew?
Now, yes. But when I came back to Spain after 20 months not being able to come back, I was shocked over that many tourists who came here just let everything go. No respect for distance, no respect of sitting, how they're sitting on the table, screaming, and especially in the different pubs around in this inner city of the old town. And I was wondering, who are their people? And I started listening to this, and there was always, most of the time, was English people after the Dutch. So I was thinking that as you are representing the English-speaking, how you say, communities here, please respect the norms and regulations are here. That's why we can go walk around and enjoy life here. This is what I would like to say.
Thank you, Matthew, for your call in. I shall do my finest. Thank you.
And I also would like to say you're a great, great, great program, and it's always a delight to come back to Spain and listen to you.
And your 10 euros will be in the post very soon indeed, Matthew. Thank you for your call in there. 952-78-4000. There you go, as the official representative for English. I'm not even going to... English, Welsh and Scottish. I'm not going to even try telling the Irish what to do, but there you go. Knife, please, please. As I said before, we have... Actually, it was interesting because I was speaking to some restaurateur friends of mine who were saying they had a little bit of problem trying to get the Brits to put their masks on and not do the conga. But they just... Obviously, they've been in lockdown for a very, very long time. And when they get to the sunny shores of Spain, perhaps they get a little bit out of control and just want to enjoy a bit of joie de vivre. You're going to take a short break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. Those are the ways to get in contact with us. Always live, always lively Viewpoint with me, Giles Bowen, Brown, joined in the studio by Andres and Claudia. 952-78-4000. To the WhatsApps we go. There will be lockdowns, whether you like them or not. They work as long as people follow the rules. And then somebody else coming in going, LOL. Not loads of love. Laugh out loud. Telling the British to behave. Good luck with that. International community equals England, Scots, Welsh, Northern Irish. All right, then. You can't tell the Brits to behave in Spain. They're like wild animals released from a cage. You've been watching my webcam again, haven't you? And also looking at Sheila from Calahonda. He is right, Matthew, saying that the Brits should be more respectful of what's going on. Studio at tre.radio is the email. I agree, one coming in here. I agree that COVID passports are rather pointless, but the need for one will encourage more people to get vaccinated. So it's not a bad thing. Face masks and social distancing are also important, though. And when alongside vaccines, we have a much better chance of avoiding any contagions. But a risk will always exist, especially for the foolish and unvaccinated. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Cookie. How are you?
Good morning, Cookie. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Morning, Andreas.
Morning, Cookie.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Fantastic. Just a quick one. I was just reading. Obviously, I do a lot of reading newspapers and stuff and data. I read somewhere that the EU are now thinking of having an expiry date on the COVID vaccine passport of 9 months. So if it does come in effect, it needs to be ratified by all 27 members. If that does come into effect, that means every 9 months you're going to have a jab.
Every 9 months you're going to have a jab. Well, I mean, some might say that's worth it, Cookie, to stem the risk of infection, overloading hospitals, etc., than the things that we've heard before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, it's each their own, you know. We just need to respect everybody's decisions and everybody's wishes at the end of the day.
Indeed. Cookie, good to hear from you as always. Thanks for the call in there on 952.
Take care.
And thank you, 952-78-4000. Regarding Brits abroad, good morning to you, Barbara. Regarding the Brits abroad, having been a resident in Spain for 18 years and lived abroad a great deal, no one squirms more at the behaviour of certain British people more than those British who do have respect for the countries they visit or reside in. Kind regards from Barbara. P.S. I often agree with Jason. Well, there you go then. Right then, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Okay, thanks for those in. I'm just checking up on my WhatsApps and emails and all the different situations. If you want to get involved with today's show,
to contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the ways to get in touch. Joined in the studio by Claudia De La Torre and Andres Gallardo, talking all things to do with the recent upsurge in infections. 952-784-4000 is the phone number.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the ways to get in touch with us. Now let's move on from new variants, restrictions, lockdowns, whatever. Let's move across, because since we were last on last Tuesday, we had this tragedy in the English Channel with the death of 27 migrants trying to cross the boat capsized. And of course, we have now been getting images as names are put to faces of those, the victim. Andres, your thoughts on where we go with that? The UK not even Priti Patel uninvited from a meeting to discuss the migrant crisis, quote unquote.
Yeah, I've been following the migrant crisis in the UK from France to the UK, and I'd like to remind your listeners and governments that we have had this problem. Because I know governments are listening to this program, Giles.
As representative of the English, as I go,
absolutely, you're a representative of the English, so they must be listening to you.
Yes, exactly.
You've got. We've had this problem in Spain with migration from in southern Spain and the Canary Islands, and also in Sicily, in Italy, and so on. We've had this problem for a long, long time with much, much larger numbers, and the death toll has been incredibly high in these waters. Around here, and now to have the focus on the tragedy that happened, and it is still a tragedy, and the trickle of some migrants going to the UK, and for them to take it so seriously, when in Spain and southern countries in Europe have been pleading for years for a European solution, even when the UK was still part of the European Union, and we have been ignored. It's just, it's quite sad to see that now they're focusing on the problem and ignored when we needed them here. Brexit was supposed to put an end to migration, and I remember saying in this very programme that the problem of migration was going to be solved just by coming out of the European Union, because what they were voting against at the time was against the illegal migration, and this is what is continued to happen and will continue to happen. As the geopolitics make people move from conflict areas and from poorer areas into different parts of the world, that's a problem that will continue to be, and it's always been since humans are on this planet.
If you turn on your Spanish news, you will invariably see at some point during the broadcast, saying or listening to the Spanish radio, Cabo de Gibraltar, or something happening in the Canaries, they will say migrant, boat washed ashore, or bodies found, or 30 to 40 migrants intercepted off the Canaries. I mean, this is a problem. So Spain and Italy, obviously, with Sicily and the small islands off there, we had the situation of the Italian government turning back, sort of basically not allowing the medical boats back in as their situation or their solution to the migrant problem. So the UK in particular seems to be saying 1,000 migrants a day trying to cross the channel, as if there is some sort of huge wave of unchecked migrants coming towards.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers here have been much, much higher. As I said, it's been historically, Spain has been, they're saying, look, they're not entering Spain, they're entering the European Union, so it is not a Spanish problem, it's a European problem. So they have to, the European Union has to have a policy of avoiding this situation. I know the problem is bigger, and you have to go to the source of the problem in the countries of origin, but there's a long-term solution. But as a short-term solution, something has to be done. And in a way, the focus that the migrants in Calais going to the UK is putting onto that problem, perhaps now that's happening in Northern Europe, perhaps that will trigger to the European Union, certainly, to do something and help the, you know, with the situation down in Spain.
When I was working for the press in the UK back in the early 90s, though, we had this whole thing about the situation, it being Fortress Europe and Europe closing off to migration and the effects that it had. Now, 30 years later, it seems that this is, you know, we are reaping what we sowed. And you look at the situation with assimilating migration, and as I said before, a lot of these people are going into the jobs that European nationals don't want to do. Claudia, your thoughts on where we are with this?
I think the problem is that there's too much tolerance with the criminal gangs who are risking people's lives and who are trafficking humans, because these migrants that are entering Europe and the United Kingdom illegally, they don't do it individually. It's organized crime groups who make them pay large amounts of money, risking their lives, putting them on these dinghies that aren't even proper boats, that are basically plastic boats. And I think what needs to be done is having a zero tolerance policy, not to incentivize these criminal gangs to keep on doing this business, because it's a business, and these criminals are vile people who are putting people's lives at risk and killing many of these people by organizing these crossings. So I think what needs to be done is to avoid these crossings, and all the force needs to be used to bring those boats back to shore where they came from. Like that, it will stop the criminal organizations from sending more and risking more lives. I think, for example, Australia has done a good job at it. They've had a zero tolerance policy in the northern Australia, where they had a very big problem also with boats coming from Indonesia and other islands in the area. And as a result, the deaths have reduced considerably. And by having a strong approach to tackling illegal immigration, they have saved many lives indeed.
You could argue, though, that... Sorry, Andres, you want to come in?
I was going to say there's an element of diplomacy that has to be worked, because you have to work with the countries of origin, and then they will have to... We can't just send the army to... Northern Africa to stop the mafias
Northern
operating,
France in that case.
Or not exactly, which is what is being suggested by Johnson. But you cannot do that. So there's an element of negotiation with those countries for those countries to stop that, and that hasn't been done. It would be more effective if it was done at a European Union level, in my opinion, because it has more power to sort of put pressure on those governments to put resources. I mean, the resources can be put by the European Union, but they have to be executed by the country of origin, and that's where the initial short-term solution is. But then there's the long-term solution, which is to look at situations like in Syria, in Iraq, in sub-Saharan countries, which are feeding people into moving to Europe with the promise of a better life. And these people must be in such a dire strait in their countries of origin that they are willing to risk their life on a dinghy, as Claudia just said, on a dinghy crossing the Channel and the Mediterranean Sea.
And one of the things that there's a couple of points I want to put up here is one of the facts is that yes, it's okay, we have to go to the countries of origin where it came from. But if you're talking about Iraq and if you're talking about Afghanistan, you can argue that, you know, the Western powers with the way they dealt with it, and, you know, invading and getting rid of Saddam and then having no get out strategy, ditto with ditto with Afghanistan. We've created, you know, the West has created this situation.
The West has created a situation, absolutely. I mean, the situation in Afghanistan, which we all have forgotten now, and it was only a couple of months ago when we all, you know, the whole media of the world was looking at Afghanistan and was completely it now ignore. It was an absolute crazy thing that happened there, that the West invaded a country to find one guy. Just imagine that an IRA terrorist hides in Spain and the UK decides to invade Spain to find this one terrorist, you know? That's what literally happened in Afghanistan. And that's created now a situation where people need to flee from there, and a natural direction is towards the West.
Claudia.
I agree that the Western allies of the UK and the US have destabilized many countries, which has led to big influxes of migrants. However, one has to remember that they're not all refugees. There are many economic migrants who are coming from countries such as Algeria and Morocco, who are countries who are haven't been invaded and who are not at war. And for the first time, we're actually seeing boats arrive in the Balearic Islands. That was completely unheard of Algerian immigrants who are arriving to the Balearic Islands, which was never a route that was considered before, and now it has. And the trouble is that there's many dictators like King Mohammed VI of Morocco and the Belarusian president.
Perhaps, rather than dictator with the King Mohammed. I mean, I can see, if I stood on this, I can see Morocco. I'd rather not get cool over there at the moment. But, you know, he's an absolute monarch, shall we say.
An absolute monarch dictator, whatever euphemism we want to use. In my opinion, it comes to the same thing. And the Belarusian tyrant, dictator. And the problem with these people is that they use migrants as political weapons.
Yeah.
And they are using migration and opening and allowing those people to transit through their countries or to leave their countries in order to get political gains. Lukashenko has done it in Belarus. We've seen it in the border with Poland. To try and destabilize. King Mohammed VI, around 6 months ago in Ceuta, did the same, allowing underage kids, opening the borders for underage kids to enter Ceuta as a kind of political punishment towards Spain. So that's the problem, that immigration has been weaponized, and they're putting people's lives at risks in order to extort money from the European Union. The European Union sends not tens but hundreds of millions of euros each year to countries such as Morocco to prevent them opening their borders and to control the migration fluxes. So of course they're very greedy and they always want more money. So the moment they need more money from Europe, they just open the floodgates, let them all come in, and to put pressure on Europe. So I think one has to stop giving these countries cash, because it's extortion what they're doing. And they're risking, and not only risking, they've killed many people with their reckless, irresponsible actions.
Reckless and irresponsible actions, Andreas.
Yeah, well, it is true. The European Union are paying third countries to keep the migrants at bay in camps normally. That is just, as I said before, it's only a temporary solution. We need to have a long-term solution. Very, very difficult, because, as Claudio said, they are, the vast majority, I would say, they are economic migrants, and they come from countries they're not at war, like you mentioned some, but you've got Senegal and Nigeria and so on, which we see arriving in Spanish coast all the time. And these are economic migrants. Now, we have to look at it. If we're not going to put a solution to the problem, we're going to have to integrate these people into Europe and into society.
Right.
You can't leave them at sea with the danger of dying. You know, I mean, the boats go there, the Guardia Civil and the and so on, and they pick them up, and they have to do something with them, save their lives to start with. But then there is an element of integration that we have. If they're going to stay here, they're going to have to integrate somehow in society, and it's not good, which most left-wing governments, regional governments in Spain, they just put them in a house and ignore them, because these people, you can't just put them in a building and ignore, especially young people, because these people are going to need education, they're going to need to learn the language, they're going to need to learn skills to then find jobs and to integrate properly. It's just not good to sort of put them somewhere and just lock the door and ignore the problem.
And we've come to the end of the first half of Viewpoint. We'll be back after the national and international news.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe. Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. Back with the second half of Viewpoint. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. If you want to get involved with today's show,
to contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the ways to get in contact with us. Joining the studio by Andres Gallardo and Claudio de la Torre. Looking at some of the WhatsApps and emails that we've had in thus far. Looking at Peter's come in with the Andalusian COVID pass, and presumably others are only valid as follows: after vaccinations, 136 days after recovery, 180 days after a negative test, 72 hours. So it's already a requirement to have a periodic booster vaccine to keep it valid. If it will still be required in the future, irrespective of the EU proposal. Some more coming in. Back on immigration. So I find it ironic that the UK asked France to manage its borders. Brits still think they're taking all the migrants. It's a nonsense. It's barely 3%. So much for taking back control. Brexit was never going to end migration. If anything, it will accelerate it. It tried and failed to end uncontrolled migration. It will ironically leave more migration than ever, given the exodus of talent. And they are using the British government is using migrants as political pawns against the French. And just a quick Eurostat update: euro area inflation up to 4.9% in November. Energy up 27.4%. Energy up 27.4%. Services up 2.7%. Other goods 2.4%. Food 2.2%. That's a flash estimate. That's what we are being given there. And going back to some more emails and general comments in today. This one in from the UK. The mask wearing came in from midnight 10 hours ago, not tomorrow. Okay, that's in the UK. 952 78 4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. Just to hike to some of the points we've been going over. England faced mask rules return over Omicron fears. Masks have become mandatory again on public transports and shops in England in an effort to slow down the spread of the variant. People arriving in the UK from abroad will now have to take a PCR test and self-isolate until they receive a negative result. Meanwhile, ministers are targeting a return to 500,000 jabs a day as the waiting time for boosters was cut to 3 months. Ghislaine Maxwell was a dangerous predator who served up girls for sexual abuse. A packed court in New York was told yesterday. As the much-awaited trial got underway, the prosecution said the British socialite was billionaire paedophile Jeffrey Epstein's second-in-command who lured vulnerable teenagers for him to assault. The Daily Mail says that Maxwell, who denies wrongdoing, listened intently, occasionally scribbling in a notebook and turning to look at her sister. A former Iranian nuclear boss has made the clearest admission to date that the country's atomic program was geared towards creating a bomb. This is what the Times is saying. Tehran has always insisted that its nuclear program is intended for peaceful purposes, but in an interview with state media, Fereydoon Abbasi Davini, a former head of the Iranian Atomic Energy Organization, said Israel killed a former colleague because when Iran's all-encompassing growth began involving satellites, missiles and nuclear weapons, things became more serious. Charles, the Prince of Wales, has officially acknowledged the appalling atrocity of slavery in the Caribbean, saying it forever stains our history. Charles was speaking at an event to mark Barbados becoming a republic after it decided to remove the Queen as its head of state. A 21-gun salute was fired just after midnight when the nation officially became a republic. The Prince watched as the Queen's standard was lowered for the final time. Meanwhile, in the UK politics, Yvette Cooper has been appointed as a shadow Home Secretary in a major reshuffle of Labour's top team by Keir Starmer. David Lammy has been promoted to Shadow Foreign Secretary, replacing Lisa Nandy, who takes a new role scrutinising Levelling Up. Secretary Michael Gove. Sounds like a thankless task, but there you go. The Guardian says Starmer's ruthless shake-up is widely viewed at Westminster as accelerating Labour's shift to the centre. The World Health Organization has warned that the Omicron variant poses a high risk of infection surges around the globe and could lead to severe consequences in some regions. The WHO chief said COVID-19 is not done with us yet and renewed his call for a global push to get vaccines to poorer nations. Cases have been reported in a number of countries, including the UK, Portugal, Belgium and Canada, and we got some reports of coming through in Spain. Meanwhile, leaked documents directly link Beijing's crackdown on Uyghur Muslims to other minorities in Xinjiang province to speeches by the Chinese leaders in 2014, reported by The Guardian. In the documents, the highest level of Chinese Communist Party leadership called for the Uyghur re-education and relocation to rectify an imbalance in the Uyghur and Han population. German academic Adrian Zenz, who received the leaked documents, shows the leadership's long-term intent to commit cultural genocide. The head of the MI, the head says that, head says MI6 will need to reach out. It must become more open in order to do its secret work effectively. That's what its chief, Richard Moore, will say today in his first major public speech since taking on the role in October 2020. Moore will admit that mastering human intelligence in this area of accelerating technology is not something his service can do. He is expected to add that, unlike Q in the Bond movies, the intelligence service cannot develop the tools it needs in-house to counter hybrid physical and virtual threats. School cuts hit poorest areas hardest. Cuts to educational spending in England over the last decade have hit the most deprived schools hardest. That's according to the Institute for Fiscal Studies. Its report found that the most disadvantaged fifth of secondary schools have faced the biggest cuts. The IFS, that's the Institute for Fiscal Studies, said the cuts to education spending over the past decade are effectively without precedent in post-war UK history. And finally, homeowners will be able to team up with their neighbours to hold a referendum on adding extensions to their properties. That's reported in the Times. The Housing Secretary, Michael Gove, said he backed the cracking idea of street votes, which would see 20% of residents apply to the local council to hold a referendum on a design code for their street. The code, which would need support of 60% of residents, would determine the scale and style of new properties and allow residents to add extensions to their existing homes. That could be very interesting areas such as Hounslow, Tower Hamlets, some very interesting sort of architectural styles coming up. And those are your 10 things you need to know, kind of, on this Tuesday, the 30th of November.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And those are the numbers. Joined in the studio by Claudio La Torre and Andres Gallardo. Excuse me, Andres. I just forgot your apellido then for a second. There you go.
Well, there you go.
There you go. What can you do? Looking at what's happening with the monarchies, Andres?
What's happening with them?
Come on.
They're all in trouble, aren't they? They're all in trouble. You've got the situation that happened yesterday with Barbados. I wonder if that is going to have a domino effect in other territories of the Commonwealth. Turn into republics as well. But the problem with the monarchies, it's all around Europe. We as everyone knows, we've got our own problems with our ex-king of Spain.
Have you seen the guy who's been going around changing street signs, I think, up in, you know, and he's calling, you know, King Elephant King? You saw that, did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it in Lepe or somewhere? I'm not quite sure where.
Madrid.
Okay, fair enough.
They're all in trouble. I mean, the Belgians are in trouble as well. You've got the Monaco as well. They all seem to have their own problems. I wonder if our society changes, should the head of state be a king within the inherited title? That's a question. I know that, for instance, in the UK, the Queen is very well thought of by almost everyone. But I wonder if Prince Charles, when he becomes king, will have the same level of acceptance. In Spain, there's also a call for a change in the structure of the state and the head of state just turning into a republic as well, because of all the troubles that the king has brought upon us. And it seems to me that the model of the monarchy, as society changes, is a model that might not be valid any longer. Whether that is something that's going to happen very quickly or very slowly, I don't know, but I think it's heading towards that direction.
End of the line for the monarchy, surely. I mean, the monarchy, Claudia, in Spain is, you know, they've had a bit of a clean out. They sent Juan Carlos off to, or Juan Carlos decided to have a relocate to Qatar or the United Arab Emirates or somewhere else he went.
Yes, indeed. He's in Abu Dhabi at the moment. Right, yeah, in the UAE. The prosecution service doesn't see that he has committed a crime after his abdication, because the thing is, constitutionally, the king cannot be prosecuted for any crime he has committed during his reign. It's the principle of inviolabilidad. So that means they can't be prosecuted. So they're saying that after his abdication, they don't see any evidence that he has committed a crime. I particularly, myself, I'm a staunch monarchist, and I defend the legacy of King Juan Carlos over his nearly 40 years of reign. I think, yes, he did. He has made mistakes, like many other people have, but I think the positive things that he has done for Spain definitely outweigh the negative. And I think his son Felipe is also doing a very good job, and I think he's a great representative of Spain abroad, and he brings institutional stability, and he has a lot of experience, because let's say presidents of republics can change every 4 years, every 2 years. So of course that means every time it's a new person coming in, they have to train themselves again. But I think all that experience that the king, not only of Spain but of other countries, have obtained over the years, the institutional contacts they've made, etc., is very valuable. And people talk about the cost of the monarchy, but the cost of the monarchy is extremely low. We're talking about especially the monarchy in Spain is the cheapest one in Europe. We're talking about 7.5 million euros per year. And when we're talking about the budget of new created ministries, like the Ministry for Equality is 420 million euros when it wasn't a ministry before. It was just a Department of State. And the President Sanchez, he has over 250 helpers. They call them asesores, so they could be advisors or whatever. And we're talking about 150 million euros each year just to pay for the president's advisors. So financially, I think the monarchy isn't a problem. And then we have to see trade-wise, how many great trade deals did King Juan Carlos bring to Spain? For example, the high-speed train of the AVE from Mecca to Medina.
Yes, that's got a few caveats with that one, surely. I mean, weren't they looking at that one? I mean, I hate to...
Yeah, they say it's corrupt.
But
it did bring a huge amount of jobs. Okay, they say, of course... I think like all public figures are corrupt to some extent, whether it's the mayor of a small town to a minister. There is greed and corruption everywhere. That's just how the world works. But when I look at it, for example, here in Andalusia, I'm talking whether there was a socialist government for 38 years and they had the biggest corruption scandal in Europe, and they spent over, I think, 700... Yeah, 780 million euros squandered, part of it in brothels and illegal substances of taxpayers' money. So, of course, I'm not saying that the monarchy is 100% clean and that there's no scandals. Of course, there's no institution in Spain and other countries that is free of corruption, because that's just how the world goes, unfortunately. However, I do think that they have done more good than other corrupt politicians who have just taken, and they haven't done much for the people. And I see, for example, the king, for example, I see the royal family, both in Spain and the UK, the savoir-faire they have in foreign nations, the protocol, just the image, the way they dress, the way they present themselves, the languages they speak. I think it's a great representation of the country, rather than just any random politician who has no experience and who arrives just from one day to another.
Refresh my memory, Claudio. What was the name? Was it the ERE?
Scandal was called ERE, yeah. And it was of the socialist Junta de Andalucía, who governed for 37 years. And that's just one of the scandals, the ERE, that's been... and the ex-president of the Junta de Andalucía, Griñán, he was sentenced to 6 years in prison. However, he's appealed to the Supreme Court, so he's waiting for the Supreme Court to either accept the sentence or not.
And in balance, Claudio, also there have been problems with the Dos Trajes cases up in Valencia.
Oh, yeah, there's been corruption everywhere. There's been widespread corruption.
The guy of Los Trajes, the famous suit... He's been acquitted of all the charges, and he had 7 or 8 charges, and he's been acquitted on all of them. So that particular person seems that the court cannot find anything against him. And anyway, but going back to the monarchy, I'm not taking the legacy of Juan Carlos away, because you can't take that. You can't cut history and put it in the bin. I mean, that is something he did. He did well, and he was very, very popular for many, many years. And people, they used to say, we're not royalists, we're Juan Carlistas, meaning supporters of one particular person, in that case, King Juan Carlos. It was very, very popular. The problem is with the scandals. What I'm trying to say with the monarchy is I'm not saying that they're not useful, because in terms of trade deals, in terms of diplomacy, in terms of all of those things, they do a good job. What I'm saying is the public opinion is shifting, because you got the situation, for instance, in the UK with Prince Andrew and his scandals.
Yeah.
The scandals in the Belgian royal family. I'm not following very closely because I don't, but I know there are problems there as well. The problems with King Juan Carlos, with his commissions and all the money and everything else, all of that is tainting those monarchies. And what I'm saying is the public opinion shifting towards saying, okay, perhaps crystal clear open republic would be easier to manage, and we don't
crystal
have...
clear open republic. I can hear Claudio frothing from behind his mask.
No, I'm just wondering if the public opinion is shifting towards that kind of thought. I'm not questioning the monarchy and what they do, because they've been doing it for many years, and some of the things they do very well. But all of these scandals are making people in general think, what a sinvergüenza he is taking all that money when there was no need for him to take any.
Yeah, I agree that it has tainted the reputation a bit. However, I think King Felipe has a different public perception than his father, and the surveys that the actual government does, the thesis, which is the statistics, Office of Statistics, they give Felipe quite a high approval rate. But I always like to insist on this, that the most advanced democracies with the highest standard of living, with the highest democratic guarantees, mostly monarchies. One has to see Sweden, one has to see Norway, the Netherlands, Belgium, Holland. We're talking about the Australia, Canada. They're all monarchies, and they are the most advanced democracies in the world. So I defend the monarchy. I think, of course, they have to be transparent like any other institution. But I think this whole illusion that thinking that changing to a republic is going to help our lives and make anything better is an absolute farce, because let's say if there was a change of the constitution, which is extremely unlikely to happen, it would just be causing more division, and it will not help our lives. So I think, like, one has to now there's all this revising the past and saying sorry for what happened 500 years ago, and in the United States tearing down statues of Columbus, and there's all this attack against the past, which I just think is divisive. It doesn't bring any benefit to society, and we should be looking forward and not backwards.
We have a WhatsApp in saying, who would most citizens want as head of state, the Queen or Boris Johnson? Indeed. But you see, you mentioned a point here, Claudia, and it's interesting, because yesterday with Barbados becoming a republic, and Prince Charles was there saying that, you know, he would apologize for the atrocities of slavery, saying it already forever stained the history. I mean, okay, admit to the mistakes of the past, but do you think this sets a precedent, you know, for, because I can imagine maybe a lot of other Caribbean nations will now think, well, if Barbados can have it, why can't the other Caribbean nations who are part of the Commonwealth now say, no, we want to be a republic now?
Yeah, but that was my very thought. If the one starts, maybe it triggers a domino effect, and it happens in other territories. That could well happen. I don't know if it will. The question as well, for those who claim, I'm thinking more Spain at the moment, but those who claim that they would prefer to have a republic instead of a monarchy, the problem is they don't clarify what kind of republic they would want, what model of republic, different models of republic. They want this presidential style of the French or the symbolic one of the Italians. So it's just it's not going to, as Claudia said, I don't think it's a solution to the problem, but I think the royal family would, because of their position and the fact that they're representing the whole country, they have to have an immaculate behavior in all they do, and that is unfortunately what they have to do. They have to be representative of every single person in the country they represent, and they have to do it very, very well. And all of these tainting issues that are happening there, as I mentioned, Prince Andrew, I mentioned King Juan Carlos, and all of that, that's not doing them any favors. That's all I'm saying. It's not doing them any favors, because public opinion tends to, especially in the world that we live now, which is very, very tense and creates a lot of division. This is one of the things that, you know, shouldn't be creating division, but it is.
I agree that it's tainting the image. So I think, like, measures do need to be taken. Like, for example, I think with Andrew, I think we can't have witch hunts also, and we have to respect people's presumption of innocence. We can't have mediatic judgments, because nowadays the problem is, immediately, without being sentenced to court, you're already sentenced by the media. And I think everyone should have their right to be able to defend themselves in court. The evidence had to be given, that we can't just suppose that someone is automatically guilty of doing something. And if they do something, well, of course, they need to pay like anyone else. But I just think it's distraction techniques also. This thing of Barbados, for example, it's a country with huge poverty, huge corruption. And of course, it's very easy to do these things to distract the public opinion, the same as in South America with the terrible violence and poverty they have now. It's fashionable to talk about the Spanish colonial past, and it's only a way to distract people from the real problems that these countries suffer.
95278 4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, morning, everybody. Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Hi. Having a royal family in those territories isn't going to enrich those countries, I'm sorry. And if you look at the wealthier territories, the advanced countries, as you call it, I was going to say, think of Germany. They haven't got a royal family, but actually they have, because they've got our royal family is half German.
A
royal family won't enrich them. And also, the British royal family, I don't know how big is the Spanish royal family? How extended is it? How many aunts and uncles and hangers-on have they got? Have they got as many as the British royal family, for example? I think, have a royal family, but have one that's well-pruned.
Have a well-pruned and groomed royal family, Sharon.
Absolutely. Chop it off, basically. cut it. Sorry, I just feel like joking today. They have the Queen and the nuclear family and whoever inherits when she's gone, and leave it at that, because they have got loads of hangers-on. Mm. At least Iñaki Dangarín went to jail. Andrew isn't even, it looks as though he's not even going to stand trial. Now, I'm not saying he's done anything wrong, but he should face the courts and let the courts decide whether he's done wrong or not. He's hiding behind mommy's apron strings, and I find that really quite embarrassing. So I think let's cut them down to a minimum. I don't know much about the Dutch and the Belgians. I just know they've got smaller families than, although they're all interrelated, but they've got smaller families than the British have. Can I just ask the lads in there, is the Spanish royal family very big? Is it extended?
Right, then. The
are
lads, there lots of the lads. Claudia, are you our constitutional expert today?
I will clarify that for you. A lot of people think that the royal family is all of the cousins and members, but the royal family constitutionally is very limited. The royal family, La Casa Real, which is the official royal family, is limited to the king, the queen, his children, and the abdicated king and his wife Sophia. So there's six people who are officially part of the royal family. The other daughters of the King Juan Carlos, the Princess Elena, for example, she's not part of the royal family, neither are her children or anyone else. So yeah, it is quite limited, the royal family.
Sharon.
It is quite a well-trimmed family. It's not hangers on all over the place.
No, we just have to be.
You can't object to it as much, but to say that if all those territories had a royal family, they'd be better off, I think is a bit pushing it a bit much, but a bit far rather. So that's my point. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those things.
Another thing, as Claudia said before, the budget of the Spanish royal family is relatively small. I think it's 7-8 million a year to run the royal household.
Right.
With all security and everything else, so if you put it that way, it's not bad.
My mischievous sense of humour, you see, because people saying that we should have a in as Sharon just said, cut it off. And thank you for all the emails coming in with relation to Prince Andrew with the cut it off thing. But saying that, you know, we should have it like the military, you know, a small, highly trained royal family ready to be dropped anywhere, any crisis point in the former British Commonwealth at a moment's notice.
Yeah, but, I mean, Sharon is right to say, I mean, Prince Andrew, I mean, that here in Spain would have been scandal. We'd still be talking about it now. And it seems that it has, you know, sort of been sort of accepted.
Well, I'm a celebrity's on at the moment, that's why. Yeah. I mean, people are more bothered about Richard Madeleine's bugs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But it hasn't created the scandal that in other places would have been, because I think it's quite serious. Oh, but he could be easily, if he sort of faced the charges and prove his innocence, solve that tainting of the royal family. But hiding, as Sharon said, behind mummy's
apron strings, apron. I think it was. 9527 84000. Just a quick break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively today, proving no exception. Joined in the studio by Claudia De La Torre and Andres Gallardo. If you want to be getting involved with today's show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And don't forget, as if you could, that Stephen Ritson follows this show today, Europe Today, coming live from Cologne in about 19 minutes or so. 952-78-4000. Let's go to some of the comments, the WhatsApps. Okay, yes, does cut it off apply to Prince Andrew? Thank you very much. This in from Zorro Mallorca. That's an interesting name. Morning, everyone. It's possibly time to look back. When Spanish flu hit, we're going back to the new variant. When Spanish flu hit, millions died. 100 years later, we still have flu. Also, we have to learn to live with it. Even when a new strain arrives, bird, swine, etc. Time is needed to adapt to the problem. Give the technical boffins time for a proper vaccine. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. Before I go on to something that was said last week by Kate about guarding role in all this, I wanted to say that often on your program, things get personal and people should not do that, because what it does is when people make personal attacks on people, it's almost as if somebody said something they kind of agree with, but they've got problems with, and that their emotions, not their intelligence, react. But that's not what I want to talk about.
Okay,
so last week, Kate mentioned God, okay? I fell out with God a long time ago, but I'm close to nature. In my week at the moment, I only spend 1 hour with man, and the rest of the time is with nature in an environment that I enjoy. And time with man is maybe at a supermarket checkout.
Well, yeah, where are we going with this, please, my friend?
Where we're going is, yeah. I want to quote, in the Bible, there's more than 300 references to fear. Okay, I'm disappointed where the church has not stood up for humanity in this, and the way the church itself has allowed itself to allow this division without speaking out. I want to quote something to you from
just quickly, because I've got more comments coming in, Jason. Okay.
Okay. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God,
right,
that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand.
Yeah.
The point is, we should be staying closer to nature and not moving away.
Thank you for the calling, Jason. You've made those points several times before. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, it's John Marbella.
Hello, John Marbella. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Prince Charles rightly so condemned the slave traders.
Yep.
At the same time, Barbadian minister said we're going to be looking for reparations.
Right.
I wonder how much reparation the royal family is going to give. They knew all about the slave traders and they made profits out of it.
Okay, you You seem to have been broken up there, so obviously Charles has got his finger on the delete button as well.
Really?
But, yeah, say again, John, because I missed half of that, sorry.
Okay, well, Charles made his speech, rightly so, about the slave traders.
Yeah.
And at the same time, a minister said she wants reparations for what happened in the past. I wonder how much reparation the royal family is going to give. They knew all about it.
It would presumably be the British government who make reparations rather than the royals themselves, yeah?
No, they must have had, they knew all about it. They're just blaming the slave traders. I mean, the average, you say the British government, which is the ordinary man in the street, he's got to pay reparations. They talk about my forefathers, what my forefathers did. I didn't have forefathers. I had one. I called him Dad.
Thank you very much for that one.
Okay.
Very good. And leave him with a laugh, as always. 952-78-4000. Let's go to the WhatsApps. Would you rather have a royal family than a corruption... Sorry, start again. Would you rather have a royal family than the corruption of a political appointee looking toward the next election? Interesting debates today. Saludos from Ian in the UK. This is from Max saying, hi, Giles, good show. Thank you very much. Yes, the royals do a good job, but why can't they pay for themselves as they have their own private wealth? Second point, when can the UK stop and say there's no more resources and money to deal with the overload of new immigrants? It's a terrible plight for them. But where do the UK put them in the near future? France is not helping. And we've heard that quite a few times as well. We can have both as well, a corrupt PM and an unelected head of state. Thank you for that one. I've already done that one. Lots of Prince Andrew comments coming in. You're all comedians, a lot of you. Commonwealth is a joke anyway. It's an empty gesture from Prince Charles' speech in Barbados. And before anybody brings it up, the monarchy does not bring tourism into the UK. Zero reparations. The monarchy was the government back then, Giles, but even so, zero is the answer. And then we can have both a corrupt PM and an elected head of state. And somebody suggesting that I buy myself a yucca plant and a spray bottle to keep myself entertained.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Into the last, 11 minutes or so of the show. You want to get involved?
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And some more WhatsApps coming in. I find it very interesting listening to Prince Charles talking about slavery yesterday when the royal family has been one of the largest profiteers of the slave trade. Also, some breaking stuff coming in. Head of EU Public Health Agency says severity of disease in Omicron cases in the EU is mild. Says results on whether Omicron escapes vaccines may be available in a couple of weeks. And thank you for the anonymous caller who called in saying, you know, if we're running the royal family as a business, then perhaps you could see a hostile takeover, you know, a cyber attack, and they could put Meghan Markle in as head of state and Harry in as consort. I can see that going down like the but they'd be on the James Corden show, so that'd make it okay. Yeah. So 952-784-4000 is the phone number, studio at tre.radio. Is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joining the studio by Andres Gallardo and Claudio De La Torre, just looking at some other bits and pieces, looking through, as we said before, the Epstein case, Ghislaine Maxwell case gets underway today, and as we said before, that's going to be a very interesting one. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, look, it's with the case last week of the Carl Rittenberg shooting the guy, the 17-year-old who killed two
Black Lives Matter protesters the other week, and they're saying, "Oh, we see it's that they're covering that one up because they don't want to have looking at what happened with Epstein." And now, of course, Epstein's going to be pretty much everywhere. I imagine for the Epstein case or the Maxwell case is going to be pretty much everywhere, making the front pages in the UK and across the pond as well. 952 78 4000 is the phone numbers. Don't forget Stephen Ritson following me today.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
952 78 4000 is the phone number with you for the last couple of minutes here on Viewpoint. Thank you for that one. Somebody coming in saying yes. Omicron is an anagram of moronic. Yes, seeing that all over the place on social media. But as I said before, some of the major points coming in: masks becoming mandatory once again on public transport and shops in England, in an effort to slow down the spread of the new variant. Looking at some other headlines in Spain as well, just in case you went up to the news with that one. We're looking, especially looking at El País in English. Catalan government defies Supreme Court ruling on teaching more Spanish language at schools. Regional education chiefs defend the current immersion program and urges principals to ignore a decision which would mean delivering at least 25% of classes in the national tongue. Presumably this is Catalan, presumably this is Basque and
Gallego.
Thank you. I was just looking for the one. Thank you. What's your thought? I mean, that's you know, we have the thing about Welsh being taught in schools in the UK, but obviously within Wales. But this is a whole new... Claudio, I know you're going to have some thoughts on this one.
Well, once again, the Catalan government is in absolute rebellion against a court order. The only thing that they're saying is that 25% of the curriculum is in Spanish. Now, at the moment in Catalonia, absolutely all classes are in Catalan, absolutely everything, except 2 hours of Spanish a week, which is the same as English. They have 2 hours of Spanish and 2 hours in English. So basically, they treat Spanish like a foreign language in Catalonia, when the constitution says that Spain is the official language of Spain and of Catalonia also, and that they have to respect the rights of both speakers. And they forget that Spanish is the majority language of Catalonia, and yet the nationalists are imposing Catalan and not allowing people to have the choice. And yet now the Supreme Court has said that they must give 25% of the curriculum in Catalonia, and yet they agree to apply it. This isn't the first court order they've had. They've had others, but they've completely ignored it. And the reason is because the Spanish government needs their vote, so they turn a blind eye. The Catalan nationalists have the Spanish government hostage because they need their votes to pass the budget, they need their votes to pass any laws. So they don't want to do anything that will jeopardize their parliamentary that they need. So I always say that the only solution for this is to reform the electoral law, having a 5% minimum of representation of votes to be able to have a seat in Congress. And if they have a 5% minimum, that would mean that the small parties will not be able to have dictate, the minority parties will not be able to have all the Spanish governments at hostage. And it is possible to change that law, because in the regional parliaments it's the same. In the regional parliament in Madrid, if you don't have a 5% minimum, you don't have a seat in the regional parliament. In many other regional parliaments in Spain it's done, but in Congress it's not.
I mean, let me put my view on the language thing.
As somebody, of course, comes from that particular area.
What's happening? Yeah, because I am bilingual, Spanish and Catalan, and I went to school. And I think the problem that we have at the moment, unlike what happened in my day when I was at school, is that the pro-independence parties are using the language as a political weapon as opposed to being used as a cultural wealth of the area. And that is where the problem lies. They should keep the look, most people in Catalonia will end up being bilingual. What is completely unacceptable for the whole country is that one regional government decides not to follow a Supreme Court order. And that's what is completely unacceptable, because that breaks the system completely. Because the problem is, if they do that, which they said they were going to do it, and they're going to continue with the educational model in Catalonia, what happens there is that sets a precedent for other administrations to go against the ruling of the Supreme Court, or any other court for that matter. And that breaks the system. Then we are in a situation where, you know, what a judge says means nothing. And that is terrible for a society to have that situation. And the cultural change have to be in Catalonia to leave the language alone, because it's a cultural wealth to be bilingual, speak both languages. It's a nice thing to have. Mm-hmm. And they should stop using it as a political weapon to get to where they want to be, which is in a position where most people or most children are identify the language with independence and eventually conquer the political.
It's interesting that they're aiming, and I know Clyde has got some feelings on this one, that they're aiming at sort of children in the schools, because that seems to think they're trying to, some would say, indoctrinate.
They are indoctrinating children there into believing that they live in a republic. And they do. And it's terrible, because he goes in the education system, they go from school to, I don't know what you call it,
secondary.
Secondary, and then onto the universities, yeah. Are completely controlled by pro-independence people who are indoctrinating children and young people. And that's how the base of pro-independence support is growing. But you cannot do that with the educational institutions, and you certainly cannot do that through the television, when the television is something paid by the taxpayer. I'm talking about TV3.
Yeah.
By the taxpayer, where there's only, it's completely one-sided, and again indoctrinating people. And we've seen in my lifetime, I've seen a support for independence that has always been there, from around maybe 15-18% to the current 50-52% that you've got there. And that's been done by indoctrination via the local media with taxpayers' money and the education system.
And we've got a WhatsApp saying, spot on, and that it's a political weapon, not a cultural advantage. Right then, almost out of time. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you today's viewpoint. Thanks for all the messages and calls in today. Always live and lively again. My thanks to my guest, Andrés Gallardo.
Many thanks, Giles. Thank you.
And good to have you with us, Claudia De La Torre.
Great to see you both again. Have a great day, people. Thank you for listening.
I will be back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Stephen Ritson and Europe Today is up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalog of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.